Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, listeners, I want to thank our good friends at Slipped Disc for their enthusiastic support of Speaking Soundly. Be sure to check out slippeddisc.com for the latest inside information on classical music now. Today's episode with the extraordinary Janae Bridges concludes our celebration of Women's History Month, where we've heard from female artists who are breaking barriers and changing the music world. Grammy Award-winning American mezzo-soprano Janae Bridges has been lighting up opera houses with her voice and grew up dominating the basketball court with her jump shot. Her two arenas would prove to be more similar than she had ever imagined.
When you make a mistake, miss that shot, you have to recover quickly. It's a helpful tool that I didn't even know it was going to be useful for me on the stage. Like, if something doesn't go right, you just gotta forgive yourself in a split second and keep going. And that really reminds me of my game when I played basketball. Just being able to stay in it. Stay in the game.
You're listening to Speaking Soundly, a backstage pass to today's biggest stars of the music world. I'm your host, David Krause, principal trumpet of the Metropolitan Opera. During each episode, you'll hear me speak with inspiring performers about their creative process and the personal journey that led them to the stage. I was actually playing in the orchestra when you made your debut at the Met Opera back in, what was it, 2019?
Yeah.
And I was lucky to have been so close from my vantage point in the orchestra because I could see how poised you looked during this debut. Was that a clutch performance or are you always that calm, cool, and collected?
Wow. First of all, that's so cool that you were playing. That, I have to say, was like the most clutch I've ever been in a performance. I was kind of just taking it all in and like going with it. And it really went better than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, it was incredible. While you were rehearsing for that, the legendary soprano Jesse Norman had passed away. And you were asked to sing at her memorial service. And I know she had a big influence on you, as she did on so many. It must have been a lot for you to sing at that service. Can the emotions that fuel a great performance also distract from it? Because, I mean, you can't sing and cry at the same time, right?
No, it's definitely not. It's not helpful to cry and sing. So that's a great question. I use the practice room to get all of that out. I go through all the emotions when I'm, you know, shedding and discovering and dissecting the score. And oftentimes with a role I'm learning, I will ask questions like, how does this, where's Janae in this? How do I relate to this? And sometimes that brings up some pretty heavy emotions. So that usually takes place in the practice room. However, there are some instances in which I am performing where I do become overcome with emotion, and I just have learned to channel that in a way that actually propels my artistry and my singing and my performance. And that, when that happens, it feels almost like it's not me in a way. It's like the emotions are carrying me, which is a little scary, but also like extremely freeing in a way, because I'm not thinking about technique. I'm not thinking about this high note or this word. It just is flowing off of emotion. So it's really a delicate balance. Ultimately, my goal is to do the work in the practice room and just like let it go on stage, and for it to be so automatic that I don't have to think about technique. Now, is that realistic? No, because when I'm approaching a certain phrase, like a high note or something, there is a split second where I have to think technically. So it is, it's a delicate balance. And I never want to be on the extreme ends of the emotion or the technicality.
Yeah. in separating the two, keeping the emotions in the practice room, as you said, is it easy to tap into it once you get on stage? Is it right there, or is it something that you have to work on?
Another amazing question. I mean, I would say that it depends on the day. You know, singers, we are our instruments. And so depending on what I'm going through for that day, it's sometimes easier than not to tap into that. But I will say that I do always accomplish the goal of tapping into whatever character and whatever emotions that I need to, because I have my routines that I go through pre-performance to get there. But sometimes
it's... You mean vocally or emotionally?
Both.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, my family knows to not really contact me on a show. I mean, yes, yeah, send a text, good luck, whatever. But I have learned that I do not like to have long conversations or really even speak to people, because I'm just very sensitive to energy. And if it's not going to contribute to my performance, then I just prefer not, you know. So I go into my zone.
Do you think part of that ability to conserve energy and to be there on the spot when you need, do you think some of that comes from your athletic background and just being able to show up at game time and not spend yourself before?
For sure. Oh my gosh. There are so many parallels with me being a basketball player. I was going to say former, but once a basketball player, always a basketball player. There are a lot of parallels between sports and what I do as an opera singer. Getting into that zone. And also, I feel like it's not often talked about, when you make a mistake, miss that shot, you have to recover quickly. So that's something that is very helpful. It's a helpful tool that I didn't even know it was going to be useful for me on the stage. Like, if something doesn't go right, you just gotta like forgive yourself in a split second and keep going. And that's really reminds me of my game when I played basketball. Right. And just being able to like stay in it, stay in the game, and tap into that game time mentality.
It's great to hear this, because musicians and athletes love to compare themselves with one another because of how similar, you know, the practice put in and the focus needed to perform well in either profession. But I'm never going to make that comparison, because I'm not an athlete. I mean, I used to cut gym class to hang out in the band room. So I'm not one to speak, but hearing that from you really kind of validates that there is crossover in the two.
There definitely is. And I would say that it's, a lot of it is mental as well, you know, just like the mental capacity that I find I needed for both. Also emotional, though. I was a very emotional player, mostly off of the court. I remember when I would get to the I was gonna say practice room, but the locker room, I would sometimes cry, or I'd be angry that, you know, I missed that shot, or we lost that game. And so it's similar, you know, the locker room is the practice room. Yeah, the stage is the court.
I guess there are a lot of comparisons. You know, I always thought it was funny that when you're an instrumentalist, you take lessons. But when you're a singer, you get coached. And I never really understood the difference. Maybe it's just semantics. But since you've been coached on the basketball court and on stage, do you feel like there's a difference between being so coached lessons, and having a lesson?
Yeah. Vocal lessons are usually purely technique. And then I have many coaches. So coaching is mostly about style. I have an Italian, German, French, new music coach. So stylistic and technical. Yeah. Those are the differences.
You know, I remember a trumpet lesson I had when I was like 14 or 15. I was lucky enough to be able to take regular lessons with Wynton Marsalis. And he was just my trumpet god, and still is. And I remember making progress in a particular lesson. And sometimes afterwards, we would go and play some basketball. And the lessons then would transition into him teaching me on a very high level trumpet to him basically fixing my jump shot from like embarrassing to terrible. Like, that was the level we were operating on. But you've been...
I love that. We've always talked about balling on the court, too. Whenever I talk to him, he's like, I'll see you on the court. You're a hooper. I'm like, yes, let's do it.
Have you played with him?
Not yet. Not yet.
I mean, you could take him because he's older now. But he's... he's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I could get what he was trying to get me to do musically. But then on the basketball court, where he's just trying to, like, line my elbow up with a hoop, like, simple things that are on the outside of your body, mm-hmm. you know, that you can, mm-hmm. he can put his elbow on, like, he...
Right, and just, like...
Right, but I could not get at all. But, I mean, that says more about me as an athlete than him as a teacher. So this is completely different than your athletic training, since you've trained at a very high elite level, both on the court and on the stage, with vocal coaches and basketball coaches. I want to ask, how important is a good coach?
Mm. Very important. I will say for me, I always want another set of ears, in this case, as a singer. And eyes, actually, because a lot of what we do is also just so physical. So for me, it's very important to make sure that I'm on track, you know, and to continually have that guidance, because the voice is, it always changes. That's what makes it, I think, very different than other instruments. We go through these different vocal, like, maturities. And so when the voice changes, it's like, okay, we got to tweak this a little bit. And I need another set of ears and a perspective to just continue, like, help me be on track. And so it's very important. I think that, and in my observation, I've noticed that singers, when they stop taking lessons and coachings, you can tell, you know? It's like they become a bit stagnant. It's like, wait, you sound the same. I mean, which is fine, but for me, it's not. Like, I always want to be improving.
Mm.
And that's maybe also the athleticism in me as well. But you can also just get into real technical danger if you don't have somebody, you know, on your side, like, helping you tweak things. Because it's just an instrument that requires that, to be honest, if you want to sing a long time.
You had mentioned that your body is your instrument. It's obvious that growing up as an athlete, the physical condition that you attained and still maintain is beneficial for your singing. But I'm curious what, if anything, your musicianship brings to your basketball playing. Obviously, you're not playing on the same level that you once were, but is there crossover in that direction as well?
That's interesting. Wow, I've never actually thought about this. Yeah, definitely more awareness. I have more awareness than I did. Because when you're, you know, singing live music, you really gotta be aware, like, how are the levels? Like, is the orchestra too loud? Is it too quick? Like, how am I feeling right now? And also a lot of predicting, you know, when you throw in the staging, anything can happen on stage. So it's like, if you see something's about to go wrong, or, you know, not as planned, what are you going to do?
So you're in the moment, but you're also a few steps ahead of that moment.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there is that element. There is the having to be ahead yet still in the moment, and then also pay attention to the conductor and then whatever else is going on in the scene. You know, when I went to Manhattan School of Music for my undergrad and Curtis for my grad, and people would always joke on singers, like, oh, you're not, we have the singers and the musicians. And I would laugh, but also I'd be like, you try singing in 5 different languages, looking at a prompt box, singing in time, having to wear this
looking good
30-pound costume. Yeah. Like, it's not easy.
And memorized.
And memorized, okay.
So, I'm fully aware you're working a lot harder than us.
Well, I don't know about that, but it certainly is a lot. And I'm glad that you appreciate it.
So what came first, basketball or singing?
So technically singing, because I started in the church choir at like age 3. But classical singing came later. So basketball came before the classical vocal aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up playing piano, classical. So that was always in me. It's just the voice came much later out of a very traumatic and dramatic experience that had to do with basketball.
Well, you can't just leave it there. I mean,
okay. I will try to make the story short. So I started singing actually quite late. I was like 17 and a half. And it was in my senior year of high school. I was captain varsity of my team. And I was in my very, very first opera. I was in the chorus of Tosca at Tacoma Opera, Tacoma, Washington. And so we had a rehearsal, choir rehearsal, the same day as a very important, like, tri-district something, maybe final game. And the rehearsal was during the day. The game was at night. So I asked my coach if my mom could drive me up. It was like 2 hours north instead of me riding with the team because I wouldn't have been able to make the choir rehearsal if that wasn't the case. So he approved. I finished the choir rehearsal. My mom picked me up. We like sped to the game, made it on time. My teammates were already, you know, warming up. And so I suited up into my gear and he sat me on the bench. And I was like, I need to warm up. What's happening, coach? And he said, no, you don't. The game started. One quarter went by. I was still not in the game. Two quarters went by. It was halftime. I was so upset. I was crying. And we were losing, too. I was sitting on that bench. I was upset, in tears. And he yelled at me. No, my mom came down from the stands. And she was like, put my daughter in the game. Like, it was a lot. And then he, like,
why did he bench you in the first place? I don't understand if you were there.
The reason why he benched me is because he called me not being a great sportsman. That was the term back then, sportsman. And not having great sportsmanship. And that I should have foregone the choir rehearsal and rode up with the team. And so he basically was like wanting me to choose between singing and choir. And he called himself teaching me a lesson in that I wasn't a great captain because I didn't choose the team. And it was just ridiculous. And I hope he hears this. So he refused to play me. And my mom and I left. We like stormed out of the gymnasium. And so I decided I really like singing. I'm going to just like hone in on it more. And so I got a private teacher and just like learned my 4 songs in different languages and auditioned for MSM on a whim. And I somehow got in. That trauma is what
That's amazing.
Really just propelled me. I just was like, this is what I'm going to do. And that's kind of just always been my personality.
That's an amazing story. And although I'm sorry to hear that you suffered that trauma, but
I know, but it,
you know,
happened for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Or you could have been in the WNBA and had, I mean, could you imagine if some opera director didn't put you in something and would have turned you
that's
the
true.
Opposite direction? Who knows?
Seattle Storm.
Right. But I'm curious from your parents' perspective, you know, your 2 career options at that point were 2 of the most tenuous possible. I mean, just the competition and injury rate of singers and of athletes
that's true
are really high. So were they nervous of you going into either?
No, you know, my parents are so cool. I'm the 3rd of 4, so I think they were just happy for me to be doing anything, you know, like they're maybe a little tired and also just like, we support you, whatever you want to do, just like do something. But I think they both knew and still know that whatever I was going to go for, I was going to be great at, you know? So when they saw that I really wanted to just start singing more and hone in on that, and that I actually had something, they were like, okay, we're going with it.
Yeah. Did you grow up in a musical household?
Not trained. No one's been trained. My dad sings in the church choir. He has for like 40 years, same church choir. But no, not really. They always appreciated music. I grew up listening to so much music every morning before school, mostly Motown.
Mm-hmm.
And they have great ears, all of them. they can tell me when I'm doing something wrong. And I'm like, okay, didn't ask you, but thank you.
Your mom was quoted by saying that she never went to the opera because she didn't feel like it was for her.
Mm.
How does it make you feel now that when you're on the stage, not only does she come, but I know that your family brings droves of people with them.
Do.
So how does it feel now having her and so much family in the audience, knowing that at one point she didn't feel like opera was for her?
Mm. I mean, for me, that's probably the biggest gift that this career has given me. I had this feedback from so many people that I don't even know. And I'll say specifically Black people, like, and people of color in general, they don't. It's amazing how many people have come to the opera because I'm singing and they feel like, oh, wow. Well, if she's singing opera, then maybe there's, I just feel more comfortable in being in the audience. So it's hard to explain what it feels like, but it's really just such a gift. And I'm grateful for the gift of voice and this whole like world that I've delved into, because it's opened so many minds and opportunities for people. And for me, that's really what it's like. A lot of it is about, because it has historically blocked a lot of people, you know,
right.
Audience members. It's like, you can Google it. It's like, ooh.
You don't have to Google it. You could just look at the audience.
Oh, well, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part.
I see it every night.
So, you know, it's really amazing to be a part of that change.
Right. Speaking of your voice, and I should say it's just been amazing to talk to you, in part because sitting here with you now, you sound like a normal human person. But you can at any point clear two city blocks with your powerful voice. What's like just to walk around with that?
Wow. That's so cool, the way you put that. It does feel powerful. You know, like the voice is the first instrument. And the fact that I do have this incredible resonance, unamplified, there's a lot of power that comes with it, in that people are somehow automatically drawn to it. And for me, it's just like, wow, this has so much power that I could really sway people in any direction, you know? Music is so powerful in general. And I think that as much as it is amazing, like, it's sometimes a heavy load, you know? But I feel, personally, for me, it's made me more confident. Not because of what people think of me. It's like, when the world is doing its thing, I have my voice. And I have that to uplift people. I think it's one of the most powerful tools.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Speaking Soundly. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends about it. Spread the word. Be sure to follow, rate us, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. To keep up on future episodes, follow us on Instagram at SpeakingSNDLY and visit our website, ArtfulNarrativesMedia.com. Tune in next week as we hear another inspiring artist speaking soundly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.